John 3:16. If you spend enough time in the South, you'll find that strange reference in random places, written in magic markers on pieces of cardboard, left in restaurants, painted on little wooden plaques and nailed to telephone poles, painted in large, bold letters on the sides of barns in the countryside. John 3:16. The reference, of course, is to one verse of Scripture, the Gospel according to John, in chapter 3, at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Commit these words to your memory. Or as we say in school, learn them by heart. This one verse is a condensation of the whole gospel. And this verse, in turn, can be condensed to one word: mercy. Friday of last week was the second anniversary of the election of Pope Francis to the chair of St. Peter. During a penance service in St. Peter's Basilica, he celebrated his second anniversary by announcing a surprise gift to the church, a jubilee year, a holy year of mercy, which will begin this December on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and run until the fall of 2016, concluding on the Feast of Christ the King. Jubilee years are nothing new in the church. Pope Boniface VIII called the first one in the year 1300. Ordinarily, however, they fall at predictable intervals, every 50 years, every 100 years. This one is unique because the Pope has called it not because of a date on the calendar, but because of his sense that the world is in desperate need of mercy. The Latin word for mercy is misericordia. This in turn comes from two other words: the verb to have pity, miserere, and the word for heart. Mercy is a heart filled with pity. A heart filled with pity for what? Miseria, another linguistic twist on the same word, misery. A heart filled with pity for misery. That's what mercy is. And it's this Latin word, misericordia, that was used to translate a Hebrew word from the Old Testament. It's a word that's used to describe God's own heart. The Hebrew word is chesed. And like most important words in Hebrew, it doesn't have one meaning, rather it has a field of meanings. Love, kindness, favor, grace, fidelity, mercy. In the early 16th century, when scholars were translating the Hebrew and Greek of Holy Scripture into English for the first time, they struggled over how to translate this Hebrew word, chesed. That first generation of translators didn't think that mercy quite said enough, so they coined a new word in English by combining two other words: loving kindness. Loving kindness. Even our modern translations use this phrase, this new word, because it comes close to capturing the complexity and beauty of this single Hebrew word, chesed, the loving kindness of God, which discloses his desire that all men be saved by coming to knowledge of the truth. That's why the Lord Jesus could say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." But notice, please, what this cost the Lord of glory. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. My friends, this we must grasp. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. God did not become man and suffer and die for us to make bad men good, still less to make good men better. The radical truth of the gospel is that he came among us and suffered and died for us and rose from the dead to make dead men live. And until we are alive in Christ, we are dead. Dead in our sins. It is this central truth of the loving kindness of God which St. Paul is attempting to explain in this morning's second lesson. We're in chapter 2 of his letter to the Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy. This is the title of an encyclical on mercy written by Pope St. John Paul the Great. Perhaps during this coming year of mercy, you could spend a few minutes reading and studying that text of John Paul, a long meditation on the true nature of mercy and suffering. God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us. You see the difficulty of putting it all in one word, like hesed. God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our sins. And we must not deceive ourselves. When we are in our sins, we are dead. The walking dead, yes. But zombies, not children of God. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The words keep spilling out of Paul. He doesn't know how to put it all in one sentence, so we have these parenthetical interjections. By grace you have been saved. Grace is another dimension of hesed, the free and unmerited favor of God, who loves us not because we're good, but because he is good. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. This is our destiny. Eternal glory, a participation in the inner life of God himself. We will be so suffused with the hesed of God that we will shine like the stars in the firmament. He seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus is not just God made man. He is love made flesh. He is the hesed of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you. It is the gift of God. This too is at the heart of the gospel. We cannot do anything to earn God's favor, to stake a claim in the kingdom of heaven. It's either received through faith as a free gift, or it doesn't exist. Lest there be any confusion, Paul adds, this is not from works, so that no one may boast. Sadly, some Christians read this and conclude that it doesn't matter how we live. But it does, of course. Receiving this free gift, receiving the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, being raised up on high with him, this is a description of the life of grace, the life of the new creation. And that's why, back to the gospel, the Savior says this, Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. The sinner who wants to remain a sinner will flee from the mercy of God. But whoever lives the truth, notice the phrase, not believes the truth, lives the truth. Whoever lives the truth comes to the light, which is Christ, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Friends, finally, when properly understood, there is no opposition between faith and works. They are both from God's grace, from his mercy, from his loving kindness, from his hesed. And that is the heart of the gospel, the good news of salvation. That in Jesus Christ and by the infinite mercy of God, our sins have been forgiven and we have been brought to new life, starting in the grace of baptism, renewed every time we go to confession and receive the Holy Eucharist worthily. Pope Francis is going to give us this Jubilee year of mercy because he believes that the Church must reveal to the world ever more clearly that she is not an angry scold, but a loving mother. Not merely a maker and enforcer of rules, but a field hospital for those wounded, wounded by sin. A place in which the loving kindness and mercy and fidelity, the hesed of God, may be revealed by how we live. So as we all seek to receive this mercy and to extend it to others, let us cling to this beautiful verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life.